This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Waiting on the April jobs report and the impacts of an uncertain winter economy. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesto in for David Brancaccio. We're waiting now for the April jobs report from the Department of Labor. It's out in about 90 minutes. It's the most watched data point of the month and will be scrutinized by everyone from job seekers to employers to economists and investors, even the Fed, which is trying to decide precisely when conditions are healthy enough to start raising interest rates. Here to discuss what we might expect is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, who follows employment like a bookie follows the racing results. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Matt.
So let's look back here to the March job report. That was, 126,000, shocked everybody. What is the outlook for April?
Well, most economists are projecting a substantial improvement, perhaps 220,000 jobs added, unemployment declining to 5.4%. You know, keep in mind, the winter was just weird. I mean, we had a whole bunch of one-time things happen. Labor trouble at West Coast ports, oil prices had plummeted, you know, then it wasn't worth pumping in North Dakota, so the drillers cut back.
So it's always a lot of uncertainty here. This is a tough number to read.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, so we might be back to normal, you know, companies still creating jobs and hiring people. Alternatively, maybe the economy really has slowed down quite a lot. Here's John Canale at investment firm LPL Financial.
I don't think the market's going to have a whole lot more patience. The bounce to date in the data that we've seen for April hasn't been awesome, hasn't been awful, but hasn't been awesome. I think if the jobs report for April is on the weak side, it might worry a lot more people who are not worried today.
And one more thing we'll be watching, wages. It seems like maybe they're starting to go up. If not, more to worry about.
Mitchell Hartman, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Big things happening overseas this morning. The Conservative Party, David Cameron, both going back to power in London. The FTSE celebrating, up 1.7%. The pound also higher by more than 1%. It'll cost you $1.54 to buy a pound of sterling this morning. Stock futures in the U.S. also up about 0.25%. The seemingly endless Greek debt crisis is speeding towards yet another crunch moment on Monday. And that's when Eurozone finance ministers have to decide whether or not to release $8 billion in bailout money that Greece desperately needs if it's going to make a debt payment the next day. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The ministers and Greece's other creditors have made a blunt demand. Before Athens gets any more cash, it must toe the line on austerity. But the Greek government says that would impoverish the country further, and anyway it was specifically elected to oppose any more spending cuts. James Galbraith, professor of economics at the University of Texas, Austin, doesn't believe the government will give way.
I don't think it can. If it did, the government would probably fall. And so the government doesn't want to fall. It won't back off. I think that's a straightforward calculation.
The Greek finance minister claims he can meet Tuesday's debt repayment with or without the bailout cash. But a much bigger repayment, five times larger, falls due on the 20th of July. If Greece hasn't reached agreement with its creditors by then, that really could bring this interminable crisis to a climax. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The plight of the bankrupt city of Flint, Michigan, has long stood as the poster child for post-industrial job loss and blight. Well, now Flint is facing another huge problem with its water. It seems when the city started to take water from the Flint River to save money, residents have said their tap water has become undrinkable. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
UL Brown has seen a lot of changes since he moved to Flint from Arkansas back in 1965. One thing he'd never seen, however, was his drinking water change color. On the kitchen table in front of him sit several gallon jugs. One is spring water bought in a store. The other two come from his tap and have slight shades of brown and green.
This is the water that I buy. This is the water come from my faucet. You wouldn't want to drink a glass of that water right there. You wouldn't want your kid to drink a glass of that water there or that.
Like many residents in Flint, Brown's been told by the city that the water is safe for drinking. Still, the proof is in the pint.
What does it taste like?
It just tastes funny. It doesn't taste like fresh water.
For decades, Flint bought its water from Detroit, which draws from Lake Huron. Last year, Flint's 30-year contract with Detroit ended, and the rates went way up.
Now, using round numbers, the cost of purchasing water from Detroit, somewhere around $1 million a month.
Jerry Ambrose is Flint's emergency manager. For a city facing a crippling budget deficit, $1 million water bill was too much, so the city switched to its backup source, the Flint River. Shortly after, the city issued two boil advisories for high levels of E. coli. Ambrose says measures have since been taken to ensure the water is safe.
Is the water so unsafe that it is a total disservice to our citizens? Our answer is no.
But with the average house paying $150 per month for water, many residents feel they deserve better.
We're paying exorbitant fees for water that's really not safe. And I don't care whoever says it's safe, it passes the test. Okay, you drink it. Help yourself.
Pastor Alfred Harris represents a citizens group urging the city to go back on Detroit water until a new 80-mile pipeline out to Lake Huron is complete next year.
I believe that the health of the people should be everyone's main concern. The health of the people, no matter what it costs.
Flint emerged from 41 months of state receivership last week, and with the new pipeline, the city will have an opportunity for both fresh water and a fresh start. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And rest assured, we'll be following the Labor Department's monthly jobs report throughout the morning, both here and at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers, our digital producer, Tobin Lowe. I'm Matt Nesto with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.